Joy is the character trait we're going to be looking at this morning, which is something that the world knows nothing of. The world can know something about happiness, but the world knows nothing about joy. And we're going to learn more about that or hear more of that from the Word this morning. But think of that as individuals who have been given something that is so valuable to take us through the days in which we live. Joy. Joy is something that we truly can understand in a mighty way as followers of Christ. We should be experiencing joy. Closely related to gladness and happiness, although joy is more a state of being than an emotion, a result of choice, one of the fruits of the spirits, having joy is a part of the experience of being a Christian. We'll see and understand more as we go through this morning that again, when we talk about joy and when we think about the joy of this season and so on, we need to understand that it's something, again, that is not something that the world is going to understand. They're not going to grasp it and what we can experience and what we have. Because in order to experience biblical joy, you have to have the presence of the Spirit of God living within you. And that comes through coming to know Christ as Savior. And so when we look at a world around us that is living in such desperation for happiness, looking and clamoring for things that is going to give significance to their life, we can understand why that's happening. Why is that? It's because they don't have the ability to understand where joy that we, I hope, are experiencing and know about, are having in a day-to-day relationship with Him. I had an interesting opportunity this week. A young fellow had been working here in town, was from Missouri, working for one of the contractors. And anyway, he showed up at AgriBest and was looking for a ride to Kearney, and Shauna was at AgriBest working. And so anyway, she had made the comment, well, you could talk to Dean, and she didn't say who I was to her, but anyway, said they could talk to me and maybe I could find somebody for that could take him. And my dear wife does know me fairly well. She knew in the back of her mind who that was going to be that was going to be taking him to Kearney. And it was me. And I had the privilege of having him as a captive audience for 60 miles. I love that. It is so fun. It really is. I just love having those opportunities. But visiting with this young man, and he had only been here for 4 days working with this crew, and he was fired Friday morning, and so he was looking for a way back to Missouri. And interesting little note, this is worth quite a bit to you, actually. I think if you ever need to rent a vehicle, don't bother renting a car, rent a U-Haul. It's a lot cheaper. That's what he told me. He says it's hard to get a car, but he says if you rent a U-Haul, he says they're very cheap to, but you know, probably a little hard on fuel, I'd imagine. But anyway, so he rented a U-Haul. I took him to Kearney to take a U-Haul back to Missouri. But anyway, visiting with him, I asked him, you know, so his journey and what all is taking place, 27 years old, and And he says, well, I'm just trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life. He says, I'm 27, I should probably figure that out. And I said, well, I said, yeah. But it's interesting visiting with him and all of the different things that he is looking to, right, to try to find purpose and happiness in his life. And then to be able to share with him and encourage him that actually, Treston, the very first thing that you should be doing if you're wanting to find happiness, lasting happiness and joy in your life, is you need to find out what God's purpose and plan is for you. You need to find out and be asking him, what does he desire of you? Not what you think is going to bring happiness to your life, but what does he say will bring true life-giving happiness, joy, and peace in your life and fulfillment? And he was fairly responsive to that, but has lots of confusion, convinced that aliens are a very real thing. And it was just a very interesting conversation. But all that being said, he is just a small picture of what's going on in our world today. Somebody that's desperately looking for hope, for joy, for happiness in his life, and he's just not finding it. And I told him, I says, I promise you, you will never find it until you come to know Christ as Savior. And then begin that journey of getting to know what his purpose and plan is for you. So when we think of joy this morning, and I hope that you are experiencing the joy of the Lord. If you know Christ, we should be. What we have and that joy, that lasting joy that takes you through anything, is something. Think about what your life would be without that joy. And then to take and recognize that we live in a world today, people all around us who have no understanding, they have no way of experiencing that joy except through coming to know Christ as Savior. I say that again as I try to make it a constant theme for us to be thinking through, why are we not telling our story? Why are we not sharing with others the hope and the joy that we have? And we look at a world and we're disgusted by the world that we live in and the stuff that's going on. But my friends, if they don't know the message, if they don't know the Savior, if they don't come to know, if they don't hear of him, if they don't see it in our own lives and us to be able to share it with them, how will they ever know? How will they ever experience the hope and the joy and the love that you and I experience? And so I want to start with that reminder this morning, is that for us, as we sit down and come together each week and celebrate the coming of our Savior, and what a joy and what hope and love it brings to us, and we experience it day in and day out, what we have that brings life and meaning to even our gathering together is something that the world can't have unless they know the Savior. How will they know the Savior unless we get passionate about sharing that good news? Ongoing, believe you me, that the moments, opportunities are always there. And the question is, do I take it? And I'm trying more than ever with the help of the Lord. Let me rephrase that. I'm asking the Lord to help me to be sensitive to his leading and prompting. Just listen to his voice and go with it. Do what he asked me to do. And leave the rest to him and see what he does. And so it's pretty fun to get into those conversations, such as with Treston, and just really praying that maybe the seeds that have been planted will make a difference in his life. But we have people right here in this community that we need to be reaching out and loving them with the love of Jesus. Happiness is a state of well-being and contentment, a pleasurable or satisfying experience. Happiness, it's really based upon good fortune. In order for you to be happy, and this is what the world is looking for, in order to be happy, things have to be going your way. That's really where happiness, that's the only way that you can, what the world is looking for is something that only they can enjoy if things are going well. Well, think about that in the day in which we live, and how happy are we going to be? How happy can they be living in the world in which we live when things are not going their way? So, it brings us back to joy. Joy, biblical joy, that we will look at this morning. Well, starting with Luke 2, 9 through 10, we already read it this morning, but an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This good news of great joy, not only it was good news that there was one coming that was going to come to save and to redeem and to pluck us out of our sinful state, but he was going to come and then fill us with joy, fill us with his joy, his hope, and his love. And I am so thankful that it's not just an event that we're looking at. It's not just an event that we say, oh, well, it's so joyous to look at that event, but to look at what Christ has done, and now it is life-giving. What he came to do, and it is to permeate our lives with joy. As followers of Christ, if you have your bulletins and you want to follow along, you can do that. As followers of Christ, we have something much greater than happiness. Something much greater than happiness. Happiness is totally contingent upon circumstances. What we have is something so much greater. Happiness is a feeling and is dependent upon favorable circumstances. As a believer, we are given joy. Joy which comes from the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the qualities, the character traits that we as believers should be overflowing with. We should see us growing in those things from day to day. And we've looked at love and hope, joy, joy. We should be overflowing with joy. If the Spirit of God is having his will and his way in our life, we are going to experience joy in a mighty way. I can, just through my own life experiences, as I've shared many a times, and I'm so thankful that God has proven himself to be so faithful in giving joy in the midst of the craziest of circumstances. Joy is a state of being. It is not just a feeling. Joy is a state of delight and well-being that results from knowing and serving God. Do you want to have joy in your life? You're not going to find it by experience, by what, you know, just experiencing what the world offers and peaceful and happy moments. We're going to find joy when we get to understand the God whom we serve, who loves us so much, and he gave everything up for us. And he tells us that he gave us every spiritual blessing to all who trust in him as Savior. We receive at that moment, as it tells us in Ephesians 1, he gives us every spiritual blessing. We can't overlook that. We keep going back to that. He has given us everything that we need at the moment of salvation to now live a life full of the fruit of the Spirit, full of joy. Oh, how the world desperately needs for us to be overflowing with joy as followers of Christ. They desperately need to understand where the source of our joy comes from. And it comes through the indwelling Spirit of God, who then, as we get to know Him and grow in that relationship with Him, we get to understand Him in a personal, in a real way. And it's something that He then overflows us with His love and with His hope and with His joy. Joy is a state of delight and well-being that results from knowing and serving God. If we find ourselves lacking joy these days, we might want to do a little inspection in our life of where we are in our walk with Jesus. Do we believe Him when He says that He's going to do what He says that He will do, and that He has already accomplished what He says He has done? Do we believe it? Do we embrace it? Do we desire to understand it more? Do we desire to trust Him in that and then walk in those truths? Or do we find ourselves just constantly doubting and it just can't be, but my circumstances are too tough. My circumstances are too difficult. How can I possibly experience joy when I'm going through this? And you can put whatever this is into the sentence. Whatever your this is. But the Lord says, no, He wants to give us joy. He wants to give us, and He will give you joy in any circumstance. Joy is what we experience being united with Christ. A relationship, walking in fellowship with Him. When I find myself struggling with any of the fruits of the Spirit that I'm wrestling with or not wanting to walk in, I better be quick to ask myself, what do I need to get right in my view about who God is and who I am in light of Him? We love to make excuses. I love to make excuses why I don't experience joy or hope or peace in a moment. And we can make all kinds of excuses, but the reality is, do we believe that God is who He is and that He will do what He says He will do, and that the life that He offers to us, it's ours, and He wants for us to walk in it and to live it. The Apostle Paul, quite a study, and we could actually go through the book of Philippians. We just did that here not all that long ago. Well, it's probably been longer than I think, book of Philippians, talking about joy and all the trials that Paul went through, and yet Paul had such joy. You never found a moment where Paul really stepped out of that. Paul was very full of the joy of the Lord in the midst of unbelievable circumstances. But he chose to believe that God is who He says that He is, and He will do what He says He will do. And I have to ask myself, do I believe it? The moment I start struggling with one of these things, I better start taking some inspection of my heart and what I'm thinking. Because God's promises haven't failed. He hasn't stopped being God, right? It's that I've chose to step aside from His promises and what He says He will do. And I'm putting my focus on the wrong things. If you put your focus upon the things of this world, you will be one discouraged, joyless individual. But when we put our focus on the things of heaven, as He tells us, put your thoughts upon the things of heaven rather than the things of earth. And these things, I love that, they grow and they will develop in our lives when we focus on Him, delight in Him. Going back to our definition there of joy. Matthew 5:11-12, it says, "Blessed are you when people insult you," Paul says. It's an action, letter C. It's an action that can be engaged in regardless of how you feel. It doesn't matter how you feel, it's or what we're experiencing, it's what we know. It's what we know, it's who we know. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Okay? For us to remember, that his promises to us are promises in the worst of times. In the worst of times and in the greatest of times. He says he'll give us joy in the midst of great burdensome times. What could and should destroy us, he will lift us up. He'll pick us up out of the miry goo, and he will make us walk in the truth of the fruit of the Spirit and to experience something that, again, can only come from him, the Spirit of the living God living within us. My friends, let's be slow and cautious in getting too angry and upset with the world that is responding in all of the wrong ways and doing things in such crazy, unthinkable ways and mindsets. Be cautious. Remember what their condition is and have a heart of compassion and love for them, and reach out to them with the love of Jesus, with the joy of the Lord, and with the hope that we have. Reach out to them and care for them. Remember, what we have and what we enjoy is something they cannot have unless they come to know Christ as Savior. It's a pretty big deal, isn't it? And it puts a lot of responsibility. Christ didn't save us just for us to be joyful for ourselves, right? And believe you me, it's a joy. I do believe that he made it his number one heart's desire is that the church, the body of Christ, enjoys, has joyful together, loves each other, and oh, that's so precious. It's the best. In fact, it's a must that we do that, because it's a reflection of him. But that we let it then shine out and make a difference in the world around us, that they might come to know the one who is the only source of hope, the only source of joy, the only source of peace that we're going to look at next week. He's it. They can have it no other way. The Apostle Paul commanded, joy is dependent on who Jesus is rather than on who we are or what is going on around us. Joy is dependent upon who Jesus is rather than on who we are or what is going on around us. So where is our focus? Is our focus on Christ, or is our focus on us? Is our focus on Christ? If we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, if we fix our eyes upon the truth, on the way, right? If we focus on him, he is going to take us on the journey of fulfilling what he has promised to us. Believing he is who he says that he is, and that he has done what he says he has done, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do in our lives. Do we believe it? Joy is dependent on who Jesus is. It isn't dependent upon our circumstances. It's not dependent upon what I say is going to make me happy. I tell my kiddos over and over of what is it do I want for them? I want what Christ wants for them. Because I know that's where they're going to find purpose, peace, and joy. It's found no other place. The Apostle Paul commanded continuous rejoicing. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 4 through 8. One of my favorite passages, as you know. But rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. When do we rejoice? Rejoice in the Lord always. And guess what? We can. Because if you put your thoughts upon Christ and who He is, remember where your joy comes from. It's based upon Him. It's based upon what He has done for us. If you fix your eyes upon Him, we have no reason not to rejoice. You can look at death in the face and to say, you know what? If death is what He wills for my life, then so be it. Rejoice in what He has given and the time that He's given. Rejoice in Him. Rejoice in the Lord in the moments that He's given us and what He has offered, how He showered us with His blessings. Fix your eyes on Him and there is joy. But we really have to go through some major brain surgery to get there, don't we? We have got to reprogram this mind to not be consumed with self, but to fix our eyes upon the One whom it all is dependent upon. Your joy is not dependent upon your job. Your joy is not dependent upon who you marry. Your joy is not dependent upon any circumstance. Your joy is found in Christ. And then when you make your joy in Him and He spills it over into everything else of our life, then we have joy in our work, whatever our work is, so long as it's not dishonoring to Him. We find joy there. We find joy in a marriage that maybe isn't everything that we want it to be, but we find joy because of the promises that Christ gives. And I want to now live that out in my marriage. The reminders over and over of how we've got to just keep taking our minds back to where is the source of joy. It's not in the things. It's not in your spouse. It's not in your work. It's not in your money. It's not in your mansions. It's not in your vehicles. It's not in your friendships. Your joy is found in Christ alone. That is where it's found, and then it spills over from there. I have to be reminded of that over and over and over again. I'm not exempt from that by any means. But it is so fun when the Lord allows us to go through difficult times to see what He can teach us if we'll let Him. If we'll let Him reveal to us what He offers to us, and it's so good. How many times Dean has had to die to self, which should be my daily journey, dying to self, right? But how many times when Dean has said, this is what I want to do, this is where I'm going to go, and the Lord had to get me to a point of saying, Lord, I'm done. My life is Yours, and I want to go wherever You want me to be and to go, right? Dying to self daily. That is where you're going to find joy, is when we find ourselves walking in step with this One who is the very source of it, of life, of joy. Examples of joy, gracious. We could go on forever in Scripture of examples. But God knows all about joy. God knows all about joy. He rejoices over His creation. In Psalm 104, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. He does rejoice in His works. What He has made. When you look at the beginning of creation and He's at the end of each moment of creating, and He says it is good. Just remember when He got to the end of day six and He created man and woman, and He said it is very good. Very good. That was one of the questions that Tristan said. Well, there's aliens out there. There's got to be another life form out there. It's more than, why would this big universe be here just for us? And I said, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that God made this massive universe that we can never find the end of it? It just never ends. And the beauty and the marvelous things, and what it does is it declares the glory of the Lord. And he did that for us, that we'll never grow tired and weary of giving glory to the one who has created it all. How do I know? Well, because his word tells me so. And then we just look at what he's done for us. The joy should overflow in knowing the Lord and what he has done for us and continues to do for us day in and day out. God knows all about joy. Isaiah 65:18. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. Get a picture of the mind of God and what he sees in his creation. Well, there's rejoicing over one sinner being saved. We were just talking again yesterday about little Gideon, thinking of him coming to know Christ as Savior at Academy, and what a joy, celebration that is. What is it, the heart and mind of God? Well, we can go to the book of Luke, and Luke 15. We have several different parables here, but in Luke 15, 4 through 7, it says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 to open in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who did not need to repent. My friends, the joy that the Lord has in rejoicing, and actually the angels rejoice in heaven when there's one who comes to know him as Savior. And why is it that we can so easily lose focus of the things that delight our Lord more than anything? The thing that delights him more than anything is when one person comes to a saving knowledge of him and is now redeemed and saved for eternity, belonging to him. And yet, we can get so consumed with the trivial things that add up to something of a treasure here on earth. We have to work, and we have to be diligent. We have to be good stewards of what God has given to us. We need to do it right. Please don't get me wrong in that. It's, yes, we live life day in and day out doing our work and doing it well for his glory and his glory alone. But what is it that brings rejoicing in heaven? When one comes to a saving knowledge of Christ. Don't we want to be a part of that? Think about when you came to know Christ as Savior and to know the delight that you brought in heaven. When you placed your faith and trust in him and you became one of his sheep. And he's longing for others to come to know him. And we have a responsibility to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. Well, another one in Luke 15, just go down Luke 15, 8 through 10. Or suppose a woman who has 10 silver coins and loses one, does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Again, what is it that brings delight to heaven? What brings delight to our Lord is when people come to an understanding of the saving knowledge that can only be found through Him. Lord, will you help us to be the voice? We have bought the lie that, well, I don't have the spiritual gift of evangelism, and so I'm not going to share the gospel. That is a lie from the pit of hell. If you have been redeemed by Christ, you have been given life, and you have been given a message to share with whoever. Let your mouth be, ask the Lord to lead you in the path of sharing the gospel. Yes, it matters that we share the gospel properly, that it's by grace through faith in Christ alone, and learn the Romans road and Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and learn the important verses, but then ask the Lord to then lead you through the journey of being used of Him to lead people to the pathway of salvation. I'm telling you, I and we need to become passionate about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. Because if they don't hear it and they don't know it, they will never experience the joy that you and I are talking about today. It means nothing. We say, what's wrong with these people? Can't they figure this out? And they just live in this world of a mess. That's what they can do. That's all they know. Because they can't experience what we have because of Christ in us. Convicting, challenging. The Lord is my strength and my shield, Psalm 28:7 says. My heart trusts in Him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to Him in song. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That just covers, we haven't talked about peace yet, that'll be next week, but verse covers most of what we've been talking about the last several weeks here. John 3, 27 through 30. To this, John replied, a man can receive, thinking of John the Baptist, a man can receive only what is given to him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him, and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and I now, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. Oh my goodness! When we put our focus upon our Savior and our Lord, when we put our focus upon Him and the joy that comes from our lives, when we make our life about Him, He becomes more and we become less. It's all about Him. Amen? I pray that the joy of the Lord is your strength today. Knowing Him is what gives you purpose and passion for life. And being a shining light to a lost and dying world. Would you pray that for me? As I will be praying that for you, that we do that faithfully for His glory. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer?